Sabbath blessings. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us the way you have. And thank you for blessing us in this week that we have survived. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, especially those that were mentioned in the text chat last night. And thank you for blessing everyone that's taking part in the services today. And please let your presence be made known unto us, especially during the testimonies. Well, and the studies too, of course, Father. And thank you so much for the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing from unrighteousness, the blessing of the latter rain, and the faith that moves the mountains. And thank you for keeping us safe from all fanaticisms and all strange heresies that prophecy said would rear their ugly head again right before the world ends, so as to draw people off the path and to prevent them from preaching present truth, because the enemy of souls doesn't want them to do that. Thank you for keeping us on the path and able to continue moving forward. We offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. All right, so we're on question number 15. Revelation 7, verse 2, and then verse 3. So what I was going to do is I was going to cover verse 1, 2, and 3 and try to answer questions number 15 and 16 at the same time, because it's going to be more or less redundant, because it's more or less the same answer for both questions. And so question 15 says, John saw an angel ascending from the east having what? And then the people of God are sealed where? And so Revelation chapter 7, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. By the way, that's happening now. That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And the reason I say that's happening now, look at the calamities. When they let go of those winds, the word plagues comes to mind, right? So the calamities are going to look like a walk in a park when those plagues hit. But anyway, it goes on. It says, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the sea, given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. When that happens, of course, if you've done your studies, the golden censer that's in the hands of Jesus Christ at right now in the most holy place, he drops it. He puts it down, job done. Then the plagues begin. But he won't drop that until the angels come up and say, yeah, the last person that has accepted you as Savior has made a decision. And the last person that we tried to reach has made their decision as well against you. So he drops the censer and it's done. And in other words, the investigated judgment is done. And you have to have an investigated judgment, because his judgment, you know, that causes the eastern sky to split to raise the dead and take us home with him, has to be done while people are still breathing. Because when the eastern sky splits, not everybody's going up. The prophecy's plain. The overwhelming majority of the people are left behind to die. And this is why you see a lot of strange things happening today. And this is really shocking, too, and especially in the last few weeks, of some of the people that have gone off on these weird tangents with fanaticisms and these strange heresies, especially after what we saw this week happen with the Pope. I made a video on Monday about him talking about the necessities to investigate climate change, because everybody else on the planet that has viable brain cells know it's a hoax, but they've got to use the climate change as a way to enforce the mark. The prophecies are pretty clear about the fact that they're going to blame us for the increase in calamities because we're not keeping Sunday holy, because we're Sabbath keepers, right? And we saw them test the waters, no pun intended, when that tsunami hit. And a Presbyterian minister said back in 2005 that it hit and killed all those people because they weren't going to church on Sunday. So they've already started speaking in that language. And we also know what happened in the 1980s when Al Gore was approached by John Paul II, and I covered that in that video on Monday, and I asked people for help to find some documentation. And boy, I tell you, I was swamped and got some really good stuff. And then 2 days later, well, I say in the video 3 days later, but if you look at the real math of it all, in the middle of Monday, he makes the statement, and in the middle of Wednesday, the Senate, the U.S. Senate, states that climate change is real. All right? And, but I praise, like I mentioned this last night, I praise God for Al Gore messing up, because he had a 50-50 chance. He could have said global cooling is happening, another ice age is headed our way, which is what's actually happening. But that's just the cycles of the planet. That's just normal. Any normal scientist will tell you that. But as prophecy also stated, you're going to have a lot of lying scientists that are going to say strange things. And so he had a 50-50 chance, and so he picked the wrong one. He said global warming. But they got to continue to run with it because that's what he did for Rome, and they got to stick with that one. There's no, I mean, they can't just flip-flop and say, oops, we messed up. Well, now it's going to be global cooling. No one's going to believe him then. They're going to become the laughing stock, so they got to stick with that. And that makes it our job that much easier, because we all live on the same planet everybody else is living on. And we can very easily say, okay, seriously, what do you think's happening? Is it getting colder or is it getting warmer? And they're all going to say colder. So that's what scares me about what's going on with some of these fanaticism and these people. We are that close. They've already, just Wednesday, stated in Congress or the Senate that everybody, including those that are prominently contrarian, as they say, which means totally against climate change and say it's all a hoax, they've even signed on and said it's not a hoax. And we know this is one of the final prophecies. They have to get this set in law in some shape, manner, or form so as to have the foundation to say we're worthy of death. Because we're keeping the Sabbath, everybody else is keeping Sunday, and the calamities aren't stopping, so it has to be our fault. So look around. There's a lot of people that have some work to do. The devil doesn't want them doing it, and so he's going to lead a lot of people into these fanaticisms. And so you're going to see this. This is going to continue to happen. The shaking is going to continue occurring. So, again, if we look around, you'll see clearly that all the world is in a troubled state. It's not just politics either. We got the calamities, too. Absolutely every nation is angry as well with someone just as prophecy predicted. I mean, there's wars and rumors of wars. Yeah, prophecy will be fulfilled. Ain't no two ways about it. And this is one of the beauties of this work that the Lord has given us to do. And I've noticed this for 30-some-odd years. One of the easiest things to talk to on the street. Yeah, people get a little annoyed if you start talking about Jesus, even at their so-called Christ Mass time. Notice that's Christ Mass. That's all Catholic. He wasn't even born that time of the year. But anyway, even at that time, so, you know, you have a little bit easier time of it to talk to, you know, people about Jesus, but some still get upset. But you talk to them about things that are happening in the news, and they get a back and forth going, and then tell them, says, I'm not trying to shove my religion down your throat or anything, or my faith or my beliefs, but did you know the Bible talked about this stuff happening right before the end happens? And some people know it, but their pastors never touch on it. But there's still that little spark of interest. It makes it so easy to talk to people now. Everything's happening just as the Bible said. I mean, it'd be nice if we should do this, because I did this when I was on the street many, many years ago. I had, and it's called my 86 or my 83 questions that were yelled at me on the street. I think it's still on the site. It's the FAQ page. It's the only page on the site that I only give Bible locations, because that's all I used on the street. I had a Bible in one hand and my list of questions with the answers and their locations in the Bible on the other hand. And that's how I would do it. Now we might want to be able to, like I did a track called People Get Ready. Yeah, and Alex, it is fixed. He asked me about it because he wanted to use it. And I did put it on the site and I fixed some typos or something like that. Or just having a cheat sheet in your Bible of current events that have happened. If you want, just use my People Get Ready page and my very near the end page, and just have a list, just take the list of all the things that prophecy said were supposed to happen with the Bible verses, and then use your own memory and just tell the people, says, yeah, that happened, this happened, that happened, and they all know it too, because they're living on this planet too. It makes our job that much easier. And the devil knows it, and that's why people are going to start getting shoved off the path. Is, oh, no, 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 don't be preaching that. You're going to get people back in church. No, 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 don't do that. Tell them that the Sabbath changes every month with the lunar stuff. Or tell them that there's a flat earth. Or tell them that you got to keep the feast days or whatever. You know what I mean. So I think maybe we should, you know, maybe I'll do another track, kind of like People Get Ready, but with no details, you know. Just the Bible verse of the actual prophetic event, and maybe one historic documentation that says it happened, and then go to the next, go to the next, go to the next, just bam, 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 bam. That way you'll have a very, you know, or we can work on this together as a church family. How about that? So again, all ever that's supposed to be happening is happening. We see great preparations, in fact, for war right now again that are being made among most of them, especially the superpowers. We got the Cold War starting up again with between Putin and Obama. You know, and they're even, you know, starting to point things towards NATO. I mean, so it's all, and just yesterday they put a video out, you know, that so-called doomsday clock where as soon as it hits midnight, we're going to be at nuclear war, right? Well, they moved it up 3 minutes yesterday, and now it's 2 minutes to midnight. And they had this big to-do, and they took a sheet off the clock, and it's a fake clock or something. It's just a drawing of a clock. But, yeah, a video would be a good idea there too, Brother Warren. Or maybe I could just do a sermon about it. But I think people are getting a little tired of some of the sermons all about the prophetic stuff. But anyway, maybe we can do it. Well, no, if we wait to do it at the convocation, that's 3-4 months away. So sermon, track, and video. There you go. So anyway, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8, when it comes to all these wars and all this stuff that's happening, he said that for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And Brother Daniel, every week, he did it again last night. It was, I think, 1,580-something earthquakes since last Sabbath at that time. We're anywhere from 1,500 to 1,800-plus per week of earthquakes. And Jesus finishes by saying that all these are the beginning of sorrows. Well, the great day of the Lord is racing towards us. And just as easily we, the remnant people that study prophecy, can see it, the rest of the world that enjoys their ear-tickling sermons can't see what we see to save their lives except for the actual realities of strange things that are happening. They don't know it was prophesied because their pastors and their teachers and their preachers won't tell them. But if they're churchgoers, they may have a Bible nearby, or they may believe the Bible if you have yours in your hand. And they bring up, let's say, because one of the best ways to do it is get them to start the conversation too, or get them to ask a question. Then you could pull out a Bible, knowing this is, well, let me ask you, do you believe a Bible? Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah. So you're trying to wonder, you're trying to figure out why there's so many earthquakes, right? Well, let's go to Matthew 24. You know? Or the Wars and Rumors War, because a lot of, especially young Christians, they have no idea that Jesus said that in Matthew 24. I've met people, and, you know, so have some of my kids, in fact, because we know these people, they were very, very close to us many years ago, and they still are, you know, that actually thought Jesus Christ was a swear word. And so you're going to meet people like this out there. They really don't know anything, but they know what's happening in their world. They just don't know it was prophesied. So, as you can see, the four angels are still holding back those four winds until us, the servants of God, can be sealed in our foreheads, but only if we remain faithful and obedient during the trials. You know, soon the powers that be are going to gather their forces for that last great battle. This is why you see what happened this week with the so-called climate change agenda. They're just figuring out a way to surround us. But then again, that's when our God shines the most, right? I mean, look at Goliath, or look what went down in Esther's day, or look at what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When it looks totally impossible, that's when his hand moves, and they may think, oh, it might not. Well, it's gonna. That's the biggest, most amazing, and the final prophecy. His hand's gonna move. And so this is why they're already tagging the true Christians as haters, you know, because we refuse to bow like the Ninth Hour Church does. And all of them, but, you know, the Ninth Hour Church is out. And some of these fanatics that have left our number have actually stepped back in to the Ninth Hour Church. Can you imagine? But that's because the lies have become truth, and they can't understand real truth. The lie looks more appealing to them because that's where they're comfortable being, in the lies. That's Satan's realm. That's his, that's their worship service or whatever. You know, that's the way it works for them. So, we refuse to bow to Allah. We've got photos of them, actually, the students. They actually put it with pride in a Ninth Hour magazine that it's a student bowing before Allah in a mosque. They have Ninth Hour ministers, pastors, declare homosexual marriage is okay. And then them, and I even just made a new page on the website this week about the Roman Catholic Church having hospitals killing babies. And, you know, there's all sorts of strange, acceptable lifestyles out there. I mean, you know, they're making reality TV about polygamy being okay. And now some young girl has declared and can legally marry her dad in New Jersey. Put an article about on that on the site this week. So it's, you know, it is now. We have to do all we can to improve our walks. This is the worst time in the world to start getting off the path. We know what the work is to do. And to go out and tell people all these strange theologies and these strange heresies, show me that in the Bible, where we're supposed to get off the path of the present truth to warn the people that Jesus Christ is coming and tell them that, well, you got to keep feast days, or you got to get people to understand the world's flat, or you got to do this, or do that, whatever. While the rest of the world is out there readying themselves for destruction by partying on and enjoying their strange theologies, or enjoying pagan holidays, or drunken debauchery, or violent movies, or sports, or even music, just to name a few, we, the remnant of our seed, should be refining our walk in Christ as probation starts to close on the souls all around us. It's already closed on all the churches. You got a page and a study and a sermon series about that already. Probation has closed on all the churches, including the Ninth Hour Church. Yeah, they'll say that it's impossible. You got to write it out to the end. But hey, what happened in when Stephen was stoned? The Jewish nation was the chosen people, they thought and preached, and still to this day claim forever. And one of the brothers in Christ mentioned this last night in regards to how some people in the Ninth Hour Church declare that they know that the church is eventually going to fall and they have to go out. They'll have to leave. They'll have to eventually leave, but they shouldn't leave now. That's another weird theology. It's going, well, if you know it's going to fall, then why even be in there now? Why take the chance? And then others are saying, oh, it's never going to fall. It's never going to fall. But it already has. Right before we enter into the time of trouble, we all will have received the seal of the living God if we're part of that number. But why is it necessary to be sealed? Do you recall the first Passover in Egypt, wherein the blood of the lamb upon the doorposts prevented the death from coming upon those obedient households? The destroying angel is about to do his work again. And this time, he will see the seal upon our foreheads just as clearly as the blood upon those doorposts when he performs his prophesied task. And keep in mind, though, just because you know the truth does not mean you're guaranteed salvation. The Lord will not excuse those who know the truth if they do not in word and deed obey his commandments. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 27 says this. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face in a glass. You know, like a mirror, we call it today. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And we all did it before we met Christ, right? We all knew it, man, I'm pretty bad, you know, because I did it. I've tried to clean up my act, I couldn't do it. I looked into the Ten Commandments, the mirror of God, right? I looked in and says, yeah, I've broken quite a few of them. And you walk away and run away and you forget about it. Yeah, just get it out of your mind. Oh, you don't want to think about stuff like that. It's depressing. At least that's what I was telling myself, right? But James goes on to say, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he, in other words, obey it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, there's another thing too. That you see a lot of, you know, people that lying, a lot of lying. I mean, that is, I mean, it's the age of lying. You can tell the enemy of souls has got most of the people now. This is his kingdom, this earth. And the overwhelming majority of the people out there see nothing at all wrong with lying. And so it says, if any man among you, and that's not just lying. I mean, the bridling of the tongue is not just about lying. I mean, there's people, you know, they'll threaten you. They'll use four-letter words. They'll name-calling, you know, slander you, whatever the case may be. There's all ways, all different ways not to bridle the tongue. And so James says, if any man seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I mean, I've used that verse. It has to be thousands and thousands of times, because when I first started the ministry, well, actually when the Lord first asked me to manage this ministry for him, I was mostly concerned with Roman Catholics because of all my siblings, my parents, all my friends, all my relatives, everybody I knew was Roman Catholic. And I don't know how many times they says, we're Christians, you know, you blankety-blanking idiot or whatever, you know. And it's not just a swear word thing either, because the slander was, that was intense. I mean, and that's how later on, when I, you know, years and years later, after still dealing with the Catholics, I don't want to get into that. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, their religion is, I mean, if you look at the way today's world is, anything goes. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to go there real quick. I'm going to show you something that a lot of people, especially in today's world, don't even know it's in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to read this to you the way Isaiah was told to pen it, and then I'm going to define the symbols, and then put the verse in today's language with the symbols defined. And if you believe I miscalculated the definition of these symbols, there's a page on my website where I define every single solitary symbol in the book of Revelation using only Scripture to show you what they mean. Let the Lord explain it. That way I don't get yelled at saying it's my opinion, right? And all the symbols in Revelation are found everywhere else. That's the best way to define all the symbols and all the prophecies of the Bible, because you know, the bulk of them are in Revelation. So anyway, it says this, and in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. All right? So I'm going to, like the seven women, that's all the churches. Jesus walked among those candlesticks. How many were there? All right, and then take hold of one man. Well, the one man is Jesus. Eat means to ingest. I mean, you see Ezekiel doing it. You see Daniel doing it. You see John doing it. Eat the Bible means to study it. Bread, of course, in prophecy is the Bible. So eat our own bread means we're going to read the Bible the way we want. Apparel in prophecy, your garment is your walk. That's why some of you have dreams about walking around in underwear. The Lord's trying to talk to you. And yes, all Christians have dreams. Read the book of Job and look at the young man that tried to rebuke Job. At first, he used biblical jurisprudence, and then he went way off into the left field. But the first thing he mentioned was, in today's language, how does God talk to people that won't listen? Well, with their dreams. You don't have to be a prophet to have dreams on a personal level from your father. That's why some of you have dreams, myself included. Sometimes you're not walking the way you should, you'll have these strange dreams. And then it goes on to say, only let us be called by thy name, the name being Christian, and to take away our reproaches, to take away our shame. So let me repeat the verse in today's language. And in that day, well, I'm sorry, let me start over. In the last days, all the churches are going to claim to be Christian churches, but they're going to read the Bible the way they want to read it, and they're going to walk the way they want to walk, but they're going to call themselves Christians to take away their shame. And that was penned thousands of years ago for today. But most churches don't teach that. So finishing James chapter 1, verses 21 to 27, let me backtrack a little bit again with verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Like Isaiah said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world, or Satan's kingdom. Hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.